focused on finding and targeting their ideal customers at scale. I'm your host, Monique Ruiz. On this month's episode, we're revisiting the topic of campaign measurement and attribution. If you're in marketing, this is something you're hopefully already doing, especially since you're likely having to report up to your C-suite as to how your company's campaigns are performing. But having said that, there are a lot of inefficient ways marketers are tackling measurement. So we're going to focus on a few channels today and let you know what's new, what's evolved, and what you should be doing to ensure ongoing marketing effectiveness. And hey, if implementing these tips and tricks into your current strategy leads to an increased marketing and ad budget next year, that will just be the cherry on top of the sundae, right? So with me today is a first-timer on the podcast, but he's no stranger to sharing the value of accurate measurement and attribution solutions. I'm excited to welcome Caleb Mansfield, Vice President of Partner Success here at Claritas. Caleb, welcome to the Marketing Insider.
Thank you for having me, Monique. It's great to be on.
So you and I have not really had the chance to work together too closely yet, so I'd love for you to introduce yourself to both the listeners and me a little bit and give us some insight into your role here at Claritas.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, my role title, I guess I should say, is Vice President of Partner Success. I joined Claritas in September from the ArtsAI acquisition. So previous to my role at Claritas, I was at ArtsAI for about 5 years, and I ran the account management team and partner success team, and also worked really closely with the product team. So I had a lot of exposure to our measurement product, particularly around streaming and podcasting and Lyft reporting. So bringing those expertise over to the Claritas side, as well as kind of introducing our AI technology and AI products to the Claritas team and to the market as well.
Yeah, and I hear nothing but good things about you. So the team is excited to have you here.
hopefully it stays that way after the podcast.
Right. All right. So let's go ahead and hop into these questions because I do really want to pick your brain. So just so our listeners have more of an idea of what to expect, I did fail to mention which channels we're kind of focusing on today, but the majority of our conversation will be around that podcast advertising, digital, broadcast, audio, very similar in some ways, but different in others. And so let me start off with a stat that I found from Statista. And it said that podcast advertising is expected to generate $2.5 billion in revenue this year. And every time we do an episode that touches on podcast or digital audio, it feels like that number jumps quite a bit from the last time we've done an episode. So what makes podcasts such a lucrative channel for advertisers to seek out?
Yeah, and it's not just a feeling. There's actually, you know, hard data around that, and we continue to see the podcasting industry grow, both from a listenership standpoint and from an ad revenue standpoint, which is great. I think a couple of the reasons why ad revenue specifically is growing so much in podcasting is, one, people are starting to realize that it's measurable. I think there was this kind of notion a couple of years ago that podcasts could only be measured by a promo code or something like that. And it was very difficult to measure cross-platform or just listen through conversions. Mm-hmm. But I think the pixel-based attribution has really calmed those nerves and made it so advertisers are more comfortable putting more and more dollars into the space because they can actually see those results. They can get back the revenue dollars and see what the ROAS is from specific podcasts, specific networks, and so on. And you know, companies like Claritas have been working to solve that over the last few years. I also think there's something very unique about having a host-read ad, or if it's not a host-read ad, at least that trust between a podcaster and a listener. Mm-hmm. Most listeners have been listening to the same podcast and the same host for months, if not years. And so they actually tend to listen a little bit more to those ads and to the products that the podcast hosts are pushing, and kind of have trust that, okay, if this person who I've been listening to for a while now enjoys this product or endorses this product, then maybe it's something I should look into as well, or at least do some research around, you know, that other products in that area. And so I think there's that kind of unique aspect of podcasting that you don't see as much in other digital channels. And, you know, maybe in broadcast radio where there's hosts and talk shows and things like that, you have a similar relationship. But I think it makes podcasting very unique in that sense.
Yeah, I agree with that last part about the host read ads. I know for me personally, when I'm listening to a podcast, they don't usually say, we're going to take a commercial break. It just kind of flows into the right. commercial aspect of it. And to go from listening to whoever the host is doing their spiel to suddenly a different voice or, you know, something like that, it can be jarring. So for me personally, I definitely prefer those host read ads. And I guess I'm not alone in that with what we see in terms of the response.
Yeah. Yeah. And depending on the host, I mean, sometimes it's fun to listen to the ads. They almost make it part of the show. They have inside jokes around the products and things like that. So yeah, it is a very unique experience. And I think that's why one of the reasons why we're seeing a jump in ad dollars there.
Yep. Makes sense. So we're recording this podcast episode right before you head out to LA for Evolutions by Podcast Movement. Imagine that. It's almost like I planned it that way. But can you first tell any of our podcast listeners who might be unfamiliar with this event what it's all about, and then kind of let us know what you're most excited to see, to hear, or to do while there?
Yeah, Podcast Evolutions is a conference put on by the team at Podcast Movement. So they do two big conferences a year, Podcast Movement, which they did last year in Denver, I believe in August, and then Podcast Evolutions, as you mentioned, is in LA. It's a great event where they get podcasters, hosts, networks, and then also technologies together in one area to kind of talk about the future of podcasting, what we can do better in the industry, how we can be more inclusive in podcasting. And how we can get more, listenership, ad dollars heading into the industry. So it's a great event for not just people that have been plugged into podcasting for a while, but, companies and networks that are trying to get more involved in the podcasting space and learn more about it. There's lots of great panels from people who are just joining the podcasting space to people that have been in the podcasting space for decades, So it's an amazing event. We try to go to Movement and Evolution every year. And we're actually sponsoring the Sounds Profitable Business Leaders Lounge this year at Podcast Evolution with our good friends at Sounds Profitable. So we're looking forward to that. And we also have two panels as well at the event. So one panel is going to be how you can add podcasting into a fuller spectrum of marketing, looking at it compared to other channels, not just digital, but also out of home, broadcast, linear TV, et cetera. And then we're also doing a panel that we're very excited about, where it's going to be women leaders in podcasting and tech, learning from some of the most important women in the podcasting space, their experience, and how they've started to involve podcasting into their media buying. So we're really excited for that. And then as a personal plug, I will be on a panel with our good friends at SiriusXM and Barometer talking about brand safety in the podcasting space. So I'm really excited about all those events and that sponsorship with Sounds Profitable.
Awesome. And this episode will be out before you guys head out there. So I'll go ahead and put the details in the show notes. So if you're curious and you're listening to this as this episode releases, you can find out more about those things. So in addition to exciting things happening at Evolutions, we just announced the release of our podcast RSS restatement capabilities. So I want to ask you, what is a podcast RSS for anyone who doesn't know? Why is this announcement important from an industry perspective? And what does it mean for any of our clients that leverage our measurement solutions?
Yeah, so RSS actually stands for Really Simple Syndication, and it's not unique to podcasting, but it is very important in the podcasting space. So a podcast RSS stores essentially all of the data around your shows. So your episodes, your shows, dates, etc. Who your guests are, and it's required essentially for you to upload your podcast onto platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. So those platforms are getting the information about your show from your RSS feed. So as a listener, when you go onto Spotify or when you go into Apple Podcasts and you see who the guest is, you see all the information around the show, start times, etc. That's all coming from the RSS feed of the podcast. So in terms of the restatement capabilities that Claritas recently rolled out, when you're doing attribution with host read ads, the more technical term is baked in ads. What's happening is, as you mentioned earlier, when you're listening to that podcast, it seems to flow very seamlessly. The reason being is that there's not actually a digital ad insertion happening. So there's no ad being served in from an ad server into the podcast. And it leads to, a very unique experience, as we talked about, for the listener in podcasting. But it makes it very difficult to measure because you can't actually tag that ad. So that's generally how we do attribution when it comes to, you know, streaming or digital. We call it DAI in the podcasting space. But when there's a baked in ad and there's no ad being served, what we do is we place a prefix on the RSS feed, and it allows us to get the download information from that podcast. So, you know, how many downloads there were, the raw format of the downloads, so that we can actually attribute conversions back to the download. The issue with that is that you have to essentially notify the attribution system which episode the show ran on, because once you place your prefix on the RSS feed, you're starting to get data from every episode, and you don't know which episode the ad ran on unless, you know, the media buyer or the advertiser actually tells you. With the RSS statement capabilities, so it allows advertisers and agencies to go into the Claritas platform and choose the episodes that their ads ran on, so they're not getting any unwanted episodes in the reporting, and the Claritas solution is not attributing any episodes that did not actually have the ad read on. So it's a really unique kind of first-to-market feature by Claritas, and it allows for the most accurate and efficient reporting for baked-in podcast ads.
That's awesome. I'm sure that has been a big pain point for advertisers and agencies. Good to know that we're helping to solve some of those issues in the industry.
Yes, definitely.
We've talked a lot about podcasts so far, but other similar channels are experiencing some buzz right now as well. So I promised we'd dive into those, and let's go ahead and switch over to broadcast media, which covers channels like satellite, radio, and television. How are marketers measuring or attributing sales and conversions back to those ad campaigns today? And what are we doing to help improve upon the current status?
Marketers over the years have come up with a bunch of solutions to try to track broadcasts, whether that be satellite, radio, and TV. And it's definitely evolved over the last few decades. So Claritas recently rolled out a measurement solution that we're extremely proud of and looking forward to expand in the industry. Traditional solutions around measuring broadcasts usually worked with time series models, and they tend to be fairly short models. So we're looking at 15-minute increments around when the ad was served. The issue with that is that a lot of marketers, especially these days with like direct-to-consumer marketers and marketers that are more interested in low-funnel conversions, a lot of their users don't convert within 15 minutes, especially if they're driving or they're listening to the radio at home while they're doing something. We wanted to expand those windows. And so Arts AI is looking at it at a 1 hour increment, so we can actually give users the time to get home and make the conversion. And what we're also doing is we're taking into account multicollinearity. And so what that means is when you're thinking about a marketing in general, not just broadcast, but when you're thinking about marketing in general, there's a lot of factors that come into play in terms of why certain areas could be converting or not converting. It could be a certain offer in a certain region. Could be the day of the week drives more and more people to convert. Maybe they're off of work on the weekends, or maybe it is a product that's easier to buy or more relevant during the week, right? And so there's all these different factors that come into play when users are purchasing a product. And so what we're looking at is we're actually modeling clients' conversion data through our pixel solution that we're doing our podcasting and streaming attribution with. And we're seeing where there's kind of these natural or organic blips in performance, whether that's a time of day, day of week, a certain area of the country. So our AI technology is actually modeling that data to kind of create these organic performance lines for each client that's running our broadcast product. And then we're taking their spot logs and taking their data, and we're seeing which DMAs and which areas they're running in. And we're using that kind of as the exposed group of users. Then we're also looking at DMAs or zips that there's not spots running in or there's not broadcast running in. And we're then taking our modeled line and we're comparing how that line changes in areas that there are spots running in and areas that there's not spots running in. So when we're doing our attribution, we're not just looking at it from a national level and looking for small 15-minute blips in performance around when the ad was actually run. We're taking into account organic performance for that advertiser or marketer. And we're also taking into account exposed regions of the country and non-exposed regions of the country. So it's a pretty sophisticated methodology. It's powered by our AI technology, which I know we're going to get into in a minute. We're extremely excited to roll it out to the market. And we've already had some of our amazing clients in the media space beta this and go live to market with it and seen some great results.
Yeah, more to come. We'll definitely do some follow-up on that on the podcast. Yeah. But like you said, you're kind of leading me into my next question. So Arts AI, where you came from, had a focus on AI, and it says it right there in the name. When I think about certain digital channels, AI isn't always the first thing to come to mind. Can you talk a little bit about where AI fits in digital channels and how that works?
Sure. So at Arts AI, we thought about AI in a couple different ways, but mainly around the personalization of ads. How can users get more relevant ads served to them, right? Traditionally, you know, there's maybe an A-B test around creative and you would see which creative performed better and you would move impressions that way. But it was all being done manually and mid-campaign or post-campaign. And so most of the users initially would not receive ads that were necessarily relevant to them. This was kind of the first AI product that we took a stab at and built about 5 years ago. We're calling this product AI Personalization, and it's essentially an AI-powered dynamic creative optimization product. We're taking components of advertisers' ads. So if you're running an audio ad, for example, you might have a voiceover, background music, sound effects, a call to action at the end of the ad. We're taking different iterations of all of those variables. So for example, maybe we would have a male voiceover, a female voiceover. We would have 2 to 3 different types of background music, 2 to 3 call to actions at the end. And we're testing all of these variables individually. When the AI is putting the ad together, it might have the male voiceover with call to action 1 with a different music track or a different sound effect. And it's testing all these different variations of ads across your user base. And it's seeing which types of users, which cohorts of users, as we call it, perform well with specific ads. And so it's actually optimizing your ads to each specific user or each specific device on every impression. So it doesn't require, you know, a data analytics team to go in after the campaign and make adjustments or mid-campaign and make adjustments. It's actually adjusting to your users in real time and making sure they're getting the most relevant ad to them that you've essentially produced. And so we're not generating the ads using AI, at least right now. We are betaing a generative AI product in the audio space, but the current live version of the product, we're getting all of our ads pre-approved by the clients. We're working with them to put them together. But where the AI comes into play is really on the optimization side of which ad each user should get. And so we've rolled out that product now in the audio space, display, video, OTT, and we've seen incredible results. On average, advertisers are seeing about 120% lift in performance when the AI is turned on. Yeah, and so and some partners have seen over 200%, 300%. And so it's been a really powerful tool. Right now, we estimate that only about 1% of ads in the market are powered by AI optimization, and we really want to grow that in the next couple of years. And now that we've been able to layer on our Claritas Prism segments and data from the identity graph, the product's going to get only more and more powerful. And it's going to allow us to start using AI to optimize to not just creative, but also audience as well. So we've started to layer on these Claritas audience data into our product, and the AI can actually start optimizing to which audiences should be receiving this ad and give you insights around which audiences perform best, which ones you can move impressions out of. And our initial reads on this dynamic audience personalization, as we're calling it, has seen about a 25% lift in performance when turned on, just by moving impressions around, you know, in terms of your targeted audiences. And the AI will give you insights into which ones you should be looking at and should be optimizing to. So kind of a combination of creative and audience is where we're looking right now. And in the future, we're going to be looking at optimizing the actual media type. Which media does your audience perform best with? Is it audio? If it is audio, where within audio? Is it podcasting, streaming? Is it display? Is it video? And so that's coming in the future and kind of the next step of our AI solution.
Yeah, that's so cool. I mean, every day I'm blown away by how technology has advanced. And this is the latest thing that's blowing my mind. So it's awesome to see, and it's great to hear those success metrics that you shared. Again, another conversation that will keep you guys, our listeners, up to date on and see how things are evolving as we move past the beta stage and get more of our clients interested in this and trying this out.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
All right, we are getting to the end of our time today, and I want to make sure our listeners not only have a good pulse on what's happening now, but in the future too. You gave us a little teaser of that. So everyone's always kind of tasked with keeping on top of the latest innovation so they can stay competitive. What do you foresee as the next big thing in the digital marketing industry, whether with a single channel or generally, and what do you think is on its way out?
Yeah, I think in terms of what's coming next, one of the hot topics I've been hearing about and we're looking to solve for as well in the next year is multi-touch attribution, MTA. Looking at all channels in a single view instead of kind of measuring everything from a siloed perspective, and then kind of measuring them against each other, where not taking all different forms of media into account when doing that measurement. And so that's kind of what I've been hearing a lot about is how do we look at these channels together, use them together to optimize the best performing channels, right? We're starting to put together a Claritas MTA model where we're looking at podcasting, streaming, broadcast, all different types of broadcasts, whether that's radio, TV, et cetera, and bringing those into a single view where clients can actually make real optimizations and changes to their media buying and to their plan. Right now, a lot of these channels, you're looking at, four or five different platforms to get an initial read from each buy. And it's really difficult to figure out where the overlap is, if certain channels are eating into other channels. So I think that's kind of the next step of media buying and measurement. MTA has been around for a while, but I think still very difficult to tie digital channels into non-digital channels where there's an impression tracker being served versus there's not a tracker being served. And so that's what we're looking to solve, I think, in the next, year or so. And I've heard other partners in the market also starting to look into this. So I think that's definitely something that's coming into the future. In terms of, what's on the way out, it's a good question. I always, when I'm thinking about how technology changes, I don't usually think about it as, what's leaving, but where are some of these improvements happening? How can we further improve solutions that are already here? And not to go back to AI, but I think one of the areas of marketing that is maybe falling a little bit behind is really the creative side of marketing. How can we use creative to give users the best experience when they're hearing the ads? How do we make it so that users don't want to skip or scroll past ads? How do we make ads as relevant for them as possible? And one way that we're using AI to kind of help this is by creating personas around your users using Claritas data. So actually showing advertisers who your users are. Advertisers might think they know this from studies and from previous purchase data, but the user base is changing and buyers are changing. And so we want to use AI to actually learn about your users and show you who that is and create these essentially AI personas that can give you advice around your advertising, can tell you what products they're interested in, why they're interested in it, and allow advertisers to actually make more relevant creatives and relevant ads for the people that are actually interested in using their product. So I think that's a really exciting kind of update that we have coming in the next couple quarters and something that I think more and more advertisers will start looking into and be interested in the near future.
Well, Caleb, you've been a pleasure to have as my guest, and I hope we get to do this again soon. So thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. This was great.
Of course. And as always, thank you to those of you listening at home or on the go. If you've not already, please take a moment to follow the Marketing Insider so you never miss an episode. Rate us 5 stars on your podcast app of choice, our favorite being Spotify, and share us with a friend or colleague so we can keep the conversation going. And with that, we'll see you next time with a brand new episode. Bye now.